Amen. I'm glad it's under the blood. Yeah. And I'll say this. I always say this. It's good to be saved. Yeah. I'm going to say that again. I don't think you got it. It's good to be saved. Yeah. Amen. There's nothing like salvation. It's good to be here too. Be home and be back at faith, and what a blessing it is. But before I get into the message, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 23. Before I get into the message, I do want to say this. I thank God for a friend, Brother George. And I know many of us miss him. But I know this, he's in heaven rejoicing. Yeah. Amen. Amen. But if you get a chance, would you write down his wife's name, April? Amen. And go talk to her and get her children and pray for them. Yeah. Amen. 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 I miss Brother George, but I don't understand as much as they miss Brother George. And I want to thank them from the pulpit for sticking it, staying in the fight, because he's rejoicing. I thank God for the impact my brother had on my life. Amen. And he's had it on many of us, and I thank the Lord for that. But it's all because of Jesus. I think about this theme. You couldn't have picked a better theme after the passing of Brother George, Jesus. Amen. And I thank God for it. I also want to thank Faith Baptist Church for the wonderful basket that you've given me and my family. It was a blessing. Somebody was filled with the Holy Spirit of God when they put the almond joys. Amen. In there. Hallelujah. Because they're mine. I also agree with Brother Cody Zorn. They did give us a lot of mints. But I realized last night why you gave them to us. Because we need to hand it out to them. If you're a pastor here, that's one of the stashes you have. You have it in the glove box. Your wife has it in her purse. You have it in your office because you're always talking. And you don't want your wife to say, put some breath mints in your breath stink. Amen. No, but I appreciate the basket. I appreciate all the folks and seeing the folks still faithful at Faith Baptist Church and being home here. And man, I'm telling you, the choir, that's the best I've ever heard you sing. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all dying on me already? Y'all enjoy that with the choir? Amen. Amen. I like what Brother David Gibbs says. Man, he said, there's nothing like a good choir. He said, but if you have a bad choir, you need to take them out back and shoot them. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to see some of our friends here. And I appreciate the Lord. The Lord's been good to us. We've moved up to Messina, New York, above the Adirondacks, right south of Canada. We're missionaries, actually. Just let that sink in for some of you. But Lord, the Lord's been good to us, been there about 3.5 years, and we've seen people saved. Church is growing, and we're excited. Amen. And seeing God do some things, and I praise the Lord for it. These folks, they've learned a lot through the 3 years. They don't know who Dr. Ruckman is, Jack Hiles, or any of these guys. They don't know anybody. They just getting saved and just knowing about Jesus and learning. And I thank the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 23, I know this is exactly what the Lord had me preach tonight because of the songs and because some of the things were said. So I'm nervous, so pray for me. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it says this in verse 7 of 23. It says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. For as he thinketh in his heart, So as he, Father, I ask you, Lord, that you'd empty me of self, fill me with the Spirit of God. God, thank you for the good spirit in here and the good songs. God, help my nervousness. Father, I want to speak exactly what you'd have me to say. God, we don't need just another good message, but we need a message that would touch the hearts like Brother Kenny was talking about last night. And God, I ask you, Lord, that you'd kill those snakes as Brother Cody preached about last night. In all of our lives, Father, use me for your honor and your glory. And we'll give you all the praise. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for your book. And thank you for the truth. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, would you agree with me, young people, that when the Bible says this, he that thinketh in his heart, so is he. Would you? The heart and the mind work together. Would you agree with that? Say amen. Amen. The heart and the mind work together. And God, is in his word, says, he that thinketh in his heart, so is he. Listen, our heart is what we believe and what we desire. I'm going to say that again. Our heart is what we believe and what we desire. We will always act consistent. Let me say that again. We will always act consistent to what we believe, even if we try to hide it. It's only a matter of time that it'll be manifested. Some of you might be new in church. You say, what's manifest means? Means it'd be made known. You'll always act consistent. The heart always reveals itself. Now I'm going to have my brother and Michael Shane and my dad stand up here for a minute. Just stand up for me. The heart is what, and Josh is going to be that, the heart is what you believe and what you desire. Right here. What you believe and what you desire. This is going to be your behavior. Your words and actions. See, the heart, what the heart believes and what the heart desires, it begins the act on the words and the actions.
That's good.
But then over here, you have the result of the emotions and consequences. So what you believe in your heart, you'll behave on. And then the consequences and the emotions. Thank you for the couple amens. You may sit down. Thank you. So our heart is what we believe and desire. And we behave on the words and actions. And then our results is the emotions and the consequences. We know that the behavior, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So tonight, if I can, I'm just going to preach a little bit on this, and we're going to go somewhere, and you need to follow with me. What you believe determines your behavior. Let me say that again. What you believe, young people, listen to me, determines your behavior. I'm going to say it again. What you believe determines your behavior. And what I'm finding in our generation right now is they come to church. Brother Kenny kind of hit on this last night a little bit, but about the band of people that we have serving God. But listen, what I'm seeing, and I'm scared, Brother Jesse, that we got a generation that is going a certain way because we're preaching a different gospel to them. And they don't understand, and they're believing something that's not true out of the book that we use. You say, what do you mean? Well, I can lie here and it'll be okay. And you believe you can lie in this situation and get away with it. Oh, I can watch this movie. You believe you can get away. Oh, it's just a little bad scene. You know how many times I've heard young people say, hey, Brother Sanders, you got to watch this movie. It's a Christian movie. It has a little bit of bad scenes. You know what you just acted out right there? You told me that you already believe it's okay to deal a little bit of sin. It's okay to put in my eyes a little bit of sin. And I'm telling you, down the road, the consequences and the emotions are a train wreck. It's okay to wear a little cut down low. It's a little okay to wear this skirt. It's a little above the knee. It's what you believe. It's okay to listen to this contemporary music. They got the good words in it. And we got a generation that I believe is going to take the torch and put it out and put up another torch. We're already starting to see it. And I look at the King James Bible that I believe and say, that's not in there. So what you believe determines your behavior. And it is an epidemic. I got friends that are changing their doctrine. Listen, we got meetings and there's never preached about sin. It's always preached about your storm and messing with your emotions. Now listen to me. I'm not against it. I preach on it. I'm glad that he comes through my storm. I'm glad that he is. He's the I am. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He's everything to us. But there has to be a balance. Has to be a balance. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. He eat and drinks, it says, to thee, but his heart is not with thee. We got a generation sitting here right now, your heart is not with these preachers or your pastor. You're saying, I'm here. Brother Kenny preached on it last night. But you're not. You're not with us. Oh, you're too strict. You just revealed your heart. You care less about God's rules. Amen. Go to Matthew chapter 5. You with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 5. We're going to go somewhere. I'm going to show you something. It happened to Jesus. It happened to the Lord Jesus. In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus gets baptized. In Matthew chapter 4, he starts his ministry. He picks up a couple of characters like Peter and Andrew and James and John. And at the end of chapter 4, these guys are just going with him. They drop their nets, they left their father, they left their job, and they begin to follow Jesus. They weren't called disciples yet. But what had happened was they watched him as in verse 23 to 25, as he began to preach the gospel of the kingdom and he healed the sick. Jesus went around with the diseased and healed them. And boy, did they come from everywhere, from Syria. The Bible says they come with possessed of devils. Listen, they come with divers diseases. He said they were even lunatics. And I tell you right now, I've seen some lunatics in here tonight. They've come with the sick of the palsy. But if you can look at verse 25 of chapter 4, it says this, and there followed him what? A great multitude of people. A great multitude of people. And these people came from all over. Now listen, this is a big crowd. But boy, the great multitudes were bigger than this crowd. But what I want you to see is this. In verse 1 of chapter 5. And seeing the multitude, he went up. Now you remember, he healed them. He was helping them. They were coming from all over the country. They were bringing their sick. And seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and he began to teach them. You say, what's so significant about that? Listen, his disciples were the only ones that went to the mountain, not the multitude. Listen, this, like Brother Kenny said, the body. Last night he talked about this being the body. But who's in the band? See, when you leave this youth rally, God's touched your heart, it's great, but this is the great multitude. But are you going to go to the mountaintop when Jesus goes? If you know your Bible, if you're a Bible reader, this is the, he starts out with the Beatitudes, but this is a Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount goes all the way to chapter, end of chapter 7. Go to chapter 8. He preaches there as he begins to tell the disciples to love your brothers. And man, he starts to go down through there. He has the Lord's Prayer and he begins to teach them these things. And listen, look at verse 1 of chapter 8. And when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. So when he came down, they were waiting for him. His disciples were on the mountain. But when he came down, the multitude was waiting. You know what I see? We go to a lot of meetings, and I'm for it. I go to meetings I love. I preach meetings. I love it. But this is not the mountaintop. Some of y'all might disagree. But this is not the mountaintop. This is the place where we see God heal people, straighten their lives up. The mountaintop is when you leave here. And listen, I told, we just had revival, and I told the preachers, I said, thank you. Man, God moved. It was something. And I told my churches, now we'll see what the results are. Then I know what God did. At our church, hallelujah, 2 days later, I had a man in my church who got saved a year ago, got called to preach. You know what he did? He followed Jesus on the mountaintop at work painting a bathroom. And God began to deal with his heart. And he started weeping, and he got on his face. He said, God, I don't know if I can preach. I can't remember anything that I read hardly. But if you want to use me, I surrender. I said, yes. You say, what happened to him? He's on the mountaintop. He texted me this morning. He said, preacher, I asked him to preach this next Sunday night. He said, preacher, he said, God woke me up in the middle of the night, gave me a title of a message. I'm ready to preach. Hallelujah. You say, where is he at? He's on the mountaintop with Jesus right now. Jesus ends up here in chapter 8. He heals. He touches and he heals this leper. But I want you to look at verse 4. He tells him, and Jesus says unto him, see thou tell no man. Why would Jesus say, see thou tell no man? And you're going to see this a lot as I show you this, but if you read the Gospels, you'll find Jesus telling everybody, tell no man. I believe that Jesus told him not to tell nobody because he didn't want them to come just to be healed. He wanted them to come to hear the gospel. Look at this. Let me show you something else. Go to Mark chapter 1. Go to Mark. You with me? Say amen. Mark chapter 1. Don't want to lose you. Mark chapter 1. Go to Mark chapter 1. I want you to look at verse 33. Mark chapter 1, verse 33. And all the city gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not devils to be to speak about because they knew him. Listen, he told that man not to speak of him, but then when he took the devils out of this man, he said, listen, don't even tell him who I am. He's telling the devils because the devils knew who he was. All through the Gospels, he does that. You're saying, preacher, we shouldn't tell people about Jesus? No, no, no. Remember, Jesus was alive. He didn't die and was rose again yet, but he wanted them to believe that he was the Son of God. By faith. Look what it says. Look what happens. Verse 35. And in the morning, raised up a great while before day, Jesus did, he went out and departed unto a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after.
him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek thee.
Listen, young people, not only going on the mountaintop, but there's going to be times after this meeting and not waiting till the next meeting that you need to go find a solitary place. You know what I thought was strange is that, yeah, they followed Jesus, but they knew where he was at. The Bible says that the disciples found him, but the multitude didn't. If you're a true disciple, boys, you know where the solitary place is. Girls, if you're on fire for God and you know, there's a place that you go and God gets a hold of you. And it's not youth rally. You say, oh, Brother Samson, you're just kind of throwing a wet blanket on things. No, I'm trying to help you to go on. Listen, this is not just my, unless I get stirred up here, I love seeing people get right here, but I got a solitary place where me and God just meet. I don't need the multitude. All I need is Jesus. And we got a generation, Brother Jesse, that has to have the crowd, has to have the music, has to have the movement. And listen, it's sweeping America. I've watched it in our young people. It's a movement. You say, preacher, we shouldn't have these meetings. No, we need to bring them in. We need healing. We need good preaching. But if we're ever going to be a disciple, we're going to have to head to the mountaintop with them after a meeting like this. We're going to have to get to the solitary place where he's at and find him and know where the spot is. It says in verse 38, and he said unto them, let's go to the next town that I may preach there also. If you know anything about Jesus, he wanted to preach. He didn't mind healing. He had compassion, but he wanted to preach. For therefore come I forth. He says it right there. This is why I came, to preach. He goes ahead and he heals a leper in the next town. In verse 44, he says, see thou say nothing to any man, and go show thyself to the priest. You know what he did? He went out and told everybody. The Bible says, if you finish that chapter, that it was a blaze, the cross, that so much that people came. And they came out at the end of that verse. It says they came out and entered, come out of the city in a desert place because he had no place to go. It's the great multitude. Look at Mark chapter 3. Are you with me? Say amen. Amen. In Mark chapter 3, look at verse 7. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea. And a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Gamma, and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, and in great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. And he spoke to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him, because of the multitude should throng him, for he had healed many, so much that they pressed upon him, for he touched him, and as many as had plagues, unclean spirits, and when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. He straightway charged them that they should not make him known. And he goeth up into the what? There he is, getting away from the multitude again. And when he goes to the mountain, if you read the rest of the chapter, he tells his 12 disciples to come up. He makes them apostles and gives them the apostolic power, where they begin to heal and help him heal. They had had the same power as Jesus.
Think about that.
You know what us preachers can't give you? That solitary place. That mountaintop experience. Just you and Jesus. Boy, we could preach a house down, Brother Cody. God can pour his power on us. But there's nothing like when it's just you and Jesus. And the problem we got is that when young people being raised in church, they ain't old renegades got saved anymore. They're the young people got saved in Sunday school because they did the work. And all you look forward to is the next meeting and Brother Kenny coming and so-and-so coming and the man of Raisy singing and whoever else coming and singing so you can get yourself stirred up. What about you and Jesus? We've become actors. Our preacher boys can get up and they can put out a sermon. They can put out the best illustration. And boy, they can preach and the movement comes. But God's not even there. And they leave a meeting like this and say, man, God showed up. And then they're back in the same sin. God help us. God help us. Hey, where's the young people that surrendered all? And they said, after this meeting, I'm going to spend time with God.
Amen. Amen.
Look at Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Jesus heals a leper here. And in verse 14, he tells him, He charged him to tell no man. Jesus didn't want them to know. And I think about this. He said, how's this leper going to go and not tell nobody? Hey, honey, I'm home. Hey, John, it's good to be home. What you doing home, man? He was out of the city going, unclean, unclean. You know what Jesus wanted him to do? He wanted him not to just go tell him about Jesus, but he wanted him to go home and live for Jesus and let his walk do the talk. What we have is a bunch of young people and even moms and dads, we like to talk it, but we don't walk it because we have no relationship outside of meetings like this. Amen. It's a serious issue. We say we're Bible believers. It's a serious issue. Look at verse 15 of Luke chapter 5. But so much the more went there the fame abroad of him, talking about Jesus. And guess what? The great multitudes came together to hear, to be healed by him and of the infirmities. Look what happens to Jesus. He withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Everybody thinks the wilderness is a bad place, but Jesus went. I think wilderness is a good place when Jesus is there. You say, why? That's the time that God begins to teach you something. The beginning of this year, our only Sunday school teacher at our church at 31 years old died unexpectedly. And boy, as a young pastor, I felt helpless to my people. And I remember me and my wife being on our face and weeping. And boy, for weeks, almost months, I felt like I was in a wilderness. But boy, I'm so happy. For one thing, I wasn't alone. God began to speak to my heart, began to teach me things out of the Word of God. He began, Brother Squiggy, to change my life in the wilderness. Something that I never saw.
but he put me on my knees. You say the wilderness a bad place? No, it's a great place when Jesus is there. People don't like talking about it, but it's a good place. I know this. Moses was on the backside of the wilderness, but I know the children of Israel were glad that he was. You say, why? He knew where all the water holes were. Amen. He knew that place like the back of his hand. And when they disobeyed God, God said, I gave you a leader. He knows this place. And God blessed them through all the wilderness, even though they complained. But I'll tell you who it helped. Jonathan and Joshua. I said Jonathan, I meant Joshua. It helped Joshua. He became victorious when he crossed the river. But I don't believe he would have if he didn't go through the wilderness. Look at John chapter 2. You with me? We're almost done. John chapter 2. Verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem, talking about Jesus, at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name. When they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. You know what they thought Jesus was? A miracle worker. You know what you young people think he is? Just a miracle worker. You know what some of you parents think he is? Just a miracle worker. He's more than that. You look at those names, he's more than that. And we're building a whole generation preaching on another gospel. Listen, did you ever think if he, listen, I thought about this. If God never blessed me, Dad, if he never blessed me again and he never helped me through my problems, he still deserves my praise. He deserves my life. He deserves my children. But let me ask you this, young people. Has Jesus committed himself to you? Oh, Brother Samson, I don't know. What's going on? Well, have you committed yourself to him? He knows your heart. We're a bunch of fakes. It took me 19 till I was 19 years old to get this. 1994, youth camp, I've surrendered my life and committed, and God began to commit himself to me. He said, well, no, he already had. Now, I understand all that. I'm talking about a true relationship with Jesus, that I wasn't this rocky road no more, but I begin, like Brother Cody was talking about, to fly high. So the snakes. You know what I did? I came out of the body and joined the band, like Brother said last night. If God would just get a hold of our hearts, we say, at this meeting, I'll surrender. No, why don't you just surrender?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. That's good.
Go to John chapter 6. You with me? Say amen.
Amen.
John chapter 6. The feeding of the 5,000. Jesus sees the great multitude and they're following him in verse 2. And in verse 3, he heads up to the mountain to get away from them. They catch him again and he feeds them. In verse 12 it says, when they were filled. And look what happened in verse 14. And then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Then Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again unto the mountain himself alone. You say, wait a minute, that's what he wanted. No, not like that. He wanted them to believe that he was the Son of God, not that he was a great prophet. Not what the Muslims preach. Not what all these other religions preach. But he knew if he went to the mountain, they wouldn't find him. In this chapter, we ain't got time to read, but if you get a chance, read it. In this chapter, you will find that Jesus leaves and his disciples take a ship and they go to find him. And the crowd begins to look for him and they go to find Jesus. And they finally meet up with Jesus a day or two after. And look at verse 26. Well, let's back up to verse 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, whence comest thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and was filled. He said, you seek me because you want your flesh fulfilled. You don't seek me because I'm the Son of God. You seek me because you want your comfort. You love my miracles. You love that I healed your family. But you seek me because you want your comfort. And we got a whole generation in these mega churches and preaching Jesus, but it's not my Jesus. Because it's all about your flesh. It's all about you and your needs. Amen. I'm not against a mega church if it's Bible believing and it's preaching the truth. Jesus begins to preach to them. He begins to tell them. He begins to preach hard. He says, listen, you're going to have to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. You're going to have to do this and do that. He begins to preach these things. And they, you know what they say? This is too hard for us. We can't take this. You know, Dad, I'm seeing kids raised in church. All that church, too hard for us. Mom and Dad, too hard for us. Everything's too hard for you. Everything that bothers you. And then they get older and they say, well, you know what? I don't believe that anymore. Remember what I told you. What you believe determines your behavior. What you believe determines your behavior. And guess what happens? Jesus tells them this in verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. There are some of you that believe not. You know what the problem is, Brother Gary Manarese? We got a whole generation that does not know anything about the Spirit of God. They wouldn't know the Spirit of God, Brother Jesse, if it hit it upside their head. Because they're in a movement that fulfills your flesh. Hey, listen, I'm an emotional guy. Boy, that choir got singing that last song. I about blew my voice out. I told myself I had to shut up, but I was shouting inside. I like to shout. I like to glorify God. But you know what I like more? Is those mountaintops, solitary place, and he committed himself to me because I've committed myself to him. You can't have it all the time. You know what the Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 6, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe in our sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Some of my favorite verses in the Bible is right there. You say, why? Because he said he's alive. I don't know if you understand it right now, but our Savior's alive and well, and he's doing his work in his remnant. Hallelujah. He's alive. And you get moved in here like this. Listen, you can experience it when you're by yourself. Matthew chapter 16. What you believe determines your behavior. Matthew chapter 16. Jesus, at a certain place, he tells his disciples, whom do they say that the Son of Man am? Verse 14. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some other Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. They were giving him the most popular answers that the folks had been talking about. The ones that didn't follow him on the mountain, the ones that didn't go to the solitary places, and they were giving him all the answers. And John the Baptist, they heard that from Herod, because when John was killed and then they heard abroad of Jesus in Mark chapter 6 verse 14, Herod had said, hey, this must be John the Baptist. He must have raised from the dead because of his mighty works. Herod didn't even know anything about John because John never healed anybody. Others said it was Elijah. And this was a very popular amongst the Jewish people, because you know why? They were looking for the Old Testament prophet to come back. In Malachi chapter 4 verse 5, I will send you Elijah the prophet, it says, before the coming of the great day and dreadful day of the Lord. Some said it was Jeremiah. He was a great latter prophet. Some said he was a prophet. He was a spokesman for God. But the second question he asked these boys in verse 15, he says this. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And there's good old Simon Peter. Listen, I don't care what you think about Simon Peter, and we all preach on him and how he betrays Christ. But all the other disciples ran. And even in his heart, he was mad as a snake against the Lord Jesus. But he was still the one that stayed the closest. Hallelujah. And he betrayed Christ. But he says this, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. He said, but my Father which is in heaven, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but the day that I got saved, hey listen, the Father revealed that Jesus Christ was the living Son of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. I said, praise his holy name. He's alive. He's a well. But it's very funny. Disciples ran. John chapter 2. Go to John chapter 2. Told you we're going somewhere. We're almost done. John chapter 2. Look at verse 21. But he spoke of the temple and his body. I'm sorry, look at verse 23. You know, I'm real sorry. That ain't even the verse I was looking for. Hallelujah. Verse 22. Then therefore he was risen from the dead. His disciples remembered what he had said. This unto them. And they believed the scriptures in the word which Jesus had said. You know, I told you that the disciples had ran. Peter had denied Christ, but it wasn't until Jesus died and buried and rose again that these disciples that went on the mountaintop, went out to the solitary place, it wasn't until they seen him and they realized he was alive that they said, now we understand. Jesus told Peter, he said, listen, Peter, he said, you're going to deny me, and Satan sifts, wants to sift you like wheat, but when you're converted. He wasn't talking about if you were saved. He said, when you were converted, strengthen your brethren. And all those disciples, they died for the cause of Christ. But if you remember, in John chapter 20, verse 29, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, you don't have to turn there, seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Our last place to go tonight, Philippians chapter 2, where the theme verse is. Brother Jesse, I'm going to need you to get on the piano here in a few minutes. I told you from the beginning of this, what we believe determines our behavior. And Paul writes here and he says this, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy. That ye be like-minded. Remember, I told you the heart and the mind works together. If you study Paul's writing, he says, be transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. You know what the problem is, young people? You've listened to so much junk and not read enough of this and got with the Lord, you don't even know how to worship him. We have to get a song. Hey, I don't know if y'all noticed, but the man of Raises got up here and they sang that first song last night, the two girls. I got weeping. It was about worshiping the Lord. But then they sang about Mephibosheth and then everybody started shouting. I'm not against Mephibosheth. I shout on it. But Brother Jesse convicted me years ago. He told me, he said, Brother Samson, the only reason you shout and move sometimes is because of the way the song makes you feel.
Didn't you tell me that, Jesse? It convicted me. I started checking it out. He was right. And I began to spend more time with God. That began to change. Amen. Look what it says. Fill ye my joy and be ye like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord. Uh-oh. Of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Uh-oh. Look not every man on his own, but every man also on the things of others. Listen, he says this, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We're so selfish, we don't think about nobody else. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery of God to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took on the form of a servant. What would Jesus do? Form of a servant. It was made in the likeness of man, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him. Thank you, Brother Gilbert. Let me say it again. Therefore, God also hath highly exalted him. When you read that, that should do something inside of you. You should get a little stirred up. Because that means you're not getting exalted, but he's getting exalted. God said, I highly exalted him. Not you. I exalt my son. Not you. And given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Everything in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. It's saying everything in the heaven, everything that's alive now and everything is hell is going to name the name of Jesus and praise his holy name. Hey, listen. Hey, Muhammad, you will bow. Hallelujah. Hey, Pope, you will bow. Hey, atheist, you will bow. It doesn't matter what they believe then. They're going to bow. It doesn't matter what you believe then. You will bow. But I know one thing. I want to bow now. I want to bow now. He's everything to me. Look what it says. Every knee shall bow. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory, to the glory, to the glory, to the glory of God the Father. Paul says, therefore, my beloved, as ye also obeyed, check this out, not as in my presence only, presence only, presence only. Don't miss it. This is the end. In my presence only. Look what he says. But now much more. Now much more. In my absence. The result of this youth rally will be how much more God meets with you on your own. Jesse, you can start playing. And then it says this. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I want to say this about working your salvation out. It's not working to be saved. You know that you don't have to do nothing to be saved except the Lord. You don't have to work.
But me and Brother Kenny were standing up here afterwards. I told Brother Kenny I appreciated the message. And I told him, I go around, I preach a lot of youth meetings and things up in New York and around. It's very seldom that I find young people sold out. Young people, when you get around, listen, when you begin to get in this Bible, you know what scared me as a teenager? I'd get around some of these men of God and I knew they'd look down through me and they knew I was a fake. Because they've been with God. And remember, what you believe and desire, your actions are your words. Excuse me, your behavior is your words and actions. And then your consequences and emotions is the result. So young people, what you believe will show us your behavior. And you know what I've seen? I don't see very many of them. I don't see the young people sold out for God. You're sold out because he does miracles for you. But aren't you sold out that he saved you? See, the problem with us growing up in church and being saved, Brother Jason Garner, at an early age, is that we get spoiled. Because we're poured on with so many blessings. And we don't even know how to worship God like the old men of God that have been taken out of gangs and those things. Brother Cody could tell you, they're very rare to find the husband and wife that got married and they surrender all. I could tell you how many pastors in here are looking for a young couple that says they're going to clean up, they're going to clean our house, and we're going to serve God, and we're going to get behind our preacher. Because of Jesus. But it's because of what you believe. Your belief system's messed up. You'll cry and weep over the storms that he come and save you. Praise God. But when's the last time you opened the Bible and wept over him being beaten for your sin? How about it? Altar's open. I already told the Lord I knew what I was preaching. It don't matter if you come or not. It's only going to be a band. It's only a few. But you know what you're going to do? Why don't you stand? Why don't you stand? You know what you're going to do? You're going to talk yourself out of, I don't believe that.